God is good. And all the time. Because that's his nature. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody happy? Ah, everybody in a good mood? Come on, we're in the church of the Lord, right? I mean, come on, people. We just got to praise his name. Amen. And now we get the word. The word, the word, the word. So before I forget, we have had lots of salvations lately. Matter of fact, we had one again yesterday or last Sunday after church. Had another salvation. If you've not been baptized, of course, Jesus says that we are to be saved and then we are to be baptized. And then, of course, he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But salvation, baptism, filled with the Holy Ghost, having power in your life. If you haven't been baptized and you would like to be baptized, then just go out to the Welcome Center after church or anytime you're here, and they will help you, sign you up so you can get on the list to be baptized. Amen. We want to make sure that the water is warm for you and not 56 degrees. So that happened once. That guy come out praying in the Holy Ghost, so you didn't have to lay hands on him. Hallelujah. Praise God. It was good stuff. All right. So we are on our second week of our new series that we are calling, Are We There Yet? And last week we talked, obviously, that we are citizens of the kingdom. Now, are you a citizen of the kingdom?
Yes.
Absolutely. If you've given your life to Jesus, you are a citizen of the kingdom. And this week I want to talk on something that probably it might hit your toes a little more. I hope some of you wore steel-toed boots. But we're going to talk on culture wars today, culture wars in our series. So last week, and those of you who weren't here last week, I will just do a 60-minute recap, and then we'll start our message today. Hallelujah. All right. Last week, we learned that God is about kingdoms and not republics, democracies, or, of course, parliaments. Our Western style of culture is not found in the Bible anywhere. Nowhere at all. As a matter of fact, our sovereign self-governing nation is foreign to kingdom principles and the kingdom of God and how he works. It really is. In order to have a kingdom, of course, we found out that we need a king. A kingdom has territories, and within the territories, there are colonies, and a colony is a territory that is under the leadership of the kingdom that it possesses. Y'all remember that from last week? Yes? Okay. The king appoints a governor to the colonies to adequately and effectively represent the king. He represents the king's interests and his will, and he makes sure that they are carried out. In other words, whatever the king likes, it will be put upon the people, the colonies, and the territory. If he likes mushrooms, guess what? He's going to be growing mushrooms everywhere, and everybody's supposed to eat mushrooms. The dress, how they dress, whatever the king likes, whatever it is, you're going to start dressing that way. Whatever the language is of the kingdom that took over, you're going to start speaking that language. What kingdom do we belong to? And what's the language that God has? A heavenly language. Amen. That's right. Whatever the king wants, he asserts on the people, and the governor makes sure that it happens. We also learned that Satan's kingdom is here on earth. He's the kingdom of darkness, deception, disease, division, and death. He is the author of sickness and disease, not God. Not God. We learned that God started a kingdom here on earth and put Adam and Eve in it and told them to rule over it and subdue it, which means take care of it or control it. He also said to them to be fruitful and multiply. At least they got that part right. Okay. All right. Because Satan deceived Adam and Eve, sin was brought into the world and Adam and Eve were kicked out of God's kingdom that he started. He told them, go east. And that's what they did. Thousands of years later, Jesus comes onto the scene and he is saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What he was saying is, it's here. The kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. It's within reach. I am it. That's what he was saying. He came to restore what was lost through Adam and Eve. He displayed his power and authority over Satan's kingdom by performing miracles, signs, and wonders for 3.5 years. He took on the sin and death of humanity, and then he offered the gift of eternal life, and by doing so, reconciled us with God. Hallelujah. We can have that relationship once again that was lost through Adam and Eve's sin. Praise the Lord for that. And then the kingdom that's in heaven came back to earth. The Bible tells us what I told you last week. Jesus went through Galilee healing all kinds of sicknesses and in all kinds of diseases among the people. And his fame, the Bible says, went through all out Syria, all throughout. Then he displayed his power even more by freeing the tormented, the demon-possessed, healing epileptics and paralytics, the Bible said. Great multitudes followed him all the way from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. All followed him because of the power that he seen, that they'd seen in him. He now had their attention. He had their attention. Just like when the kingdom comes and shows the power, defeats everybody, they show the power. Now, I'm going to reign and rule over you. It's what God did to get the children of Israel. Showed his power, defeated Pharaoh. Follow me. Now this is what you're going to do under my kingdom. So Jesus did all those things. The Bible says that thousands of people, great multitudes, followed him from all these places. And so what did he do now that he had his attention? It tells us. One of Jesus' sermons that everybody says was his greatest sermon was the one when he went up on a mountain and he sat down. And of course, it's one of his greatest sermons. I mean, this is Jesus. What do you mean only one of them was the greatest? Hello, I'm sure all of them was the greatest. It was Jesus. But they say this one was the greatest. So he sat down with his disciples and they sat down and he started to teach them. And it says in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 12, you can follow me if you want to, or we'll be up on the screen. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I want to go through every one of those again, individually. I ain't going to go deep. We could take weeks on each one of these and be here for 10, 12 weeks because they're so good, what Jesus said. There's so much depth to these that Jesus said. But because of time, I just want to give you short little tidbits of what each of one of these are talking about. When he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, that describes poverty. When you say, blessed are the poor represents poverty, lack, something that has absolutely no value. So before Jesus, before you and I had Jesus in our hearts, we were empty in our spirits. We were poor. We were lacking. We had nothing. And we cannot be self-satisfied or proud in our hearts thinking we do not need God. And a lot of people do today. That's the culture. But you know what? Jesus says this in James 4:6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is really not into individualism? I don't know. It's just in my head right now. No. I want to be myself. No. God wants us dependent on him. On him. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. When we feel the crushing weight of our guilt, of our sin, we should mourn. We should be sorry, deeply grieved for the guilt. When we hear the gospel, when we hear what Jesus did, we should be grieved deeply for the things that maybe we have done. And then that will cause repentance to happen. And then, of course, the comforter comes. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Humility. We have to be humble in God's kingdom, bringing your will under the authority of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Having a hunger for living right, doing what's right, thinking what's right, our actions. We got a hunger and thirst for right standing, right living, especially in these last days. We have to do this. It makes the soul receptive to the voice and the message of Christ. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, to do what's right. I know we're not perfect. I know we'll never be perfect, but we strive to be like Jesus. You know, I tell people, you know, I'm sorry I did this or I did that. I said, okay, I understand that. And Jesus understands that. I feel guilty because I keep doing it. Keep repenting and keep trying to turn away. Don't go down that alcohol aisle anymore. Don't do it. Try your best. Ask Jesus for help. He will be there to help you. Don't ask forgiveness and then go back through the aisle knowing that that's the greatest temptation that you have. Do our part, and then God will help us, and He will do His part in our life. Amen? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now listen, here's where it starts to get really good, because that's an attribute of Jesus, or a part of His character, I should say. Mercy is. How many of us don't have mercy, but we have the middle finger? Yeah, listen, I get mad too when somebody cuts in front of me. But I'll tell you what really stopped all that anger in me, and I'm still working on it at times, is when I went to Africa. I went to Africa and I saw how horrible the traffic is. Those, Randy, you all been there. It is horrendous. And I mean horrendous. If you put your hand out, your ring, you'd be gone, it'd be over. You can touch the, this is how close we are. How you doing, bro? I mean, it's, you can touch the car right here. It's unbelievable. But you know what? People deal with it. And they don't get angry and they don't get mad. They don't get upset. We go to Aruba every year. Been there 11 years in a row. People help each other. They let everybody out. Somebody cuts in front of you. This person's still happy. Maybe it's because they live in Aruba. I don't know. No need to be angry, you know? But I see all those things, and then I try my best to be merciful. When I see somebody cut in front of me, I just smile, or I say, go ahead. I let people in. I let people out. And I've had other people look at me like, what you doing letting them out? Oh, calm down. Be merciful. Hallelujah. And then we will obtain mercy. What did Jesus do when those men brought out the woman who was caught in the actual sex act? It said she was caught in adultery instantly. So they pulled her off of the bro, and they drug her out in the street, and Jesus was there right in the act. And they wanted to stone her. Jesus' mercy looked at those guys, I call them heathens, and said, if you haven't sinned, go ahead, do it, throw the stone. Listen, they would have been rightly so because of the law would have allowed them to stone her. But you know what they did? They threw the rocks down because every one of those has sinned too. And he looks at her with compassion and mercy and says, go, babe, and sin no more. I want to know where the dude was, because that bro should have been brought out also. And I'd have probably just still stoned him. But anyway. No, mercy. Mercy. Hallelujah. And then, of course, we all know the ultimate act of mercy. The mercies above all mercies. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, and he looked down at those guys who were ripping his clothes apart and betting for him, who were spitting on him, who were still shouting, "Crucify," when he's already half dead. And when he was thirsty, giving him something that would make it worse. And he still looks at them all and says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wow. The ultimate mercy right there. Wow. We have to be that. Oh, I know that was hard. Okay. I'm going to keep going. I said, I'd only go little. I ain't going deep. Okay. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's a healthy detachment from those things that do not lead us to God. Detach from those things. Those that have a desire to live for God shall see God. This is the standard God expects for those who are called by his name. And every one of you have been called by his name. That's the standard. Well, that's a rough standard. You can do it. You can do it. He's there to help us. Then it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I will tell you right now, that does not mean you're happy. Any of you get persecuted and say, praise the Lord? No, not I. No, it doesn't mean happy. Who's happy when they're persecuted? Nobody. Righteous actions are only righteous if they are done with righteous motives. Jesus refers to those who profess to be and live consistently as a Christian. We have to be righteous. They proclaim Christ, peacemakers, all right? And live under Christ's command, righteousness. That's what he says. And are thus persecuted by a world that hates Jesus. That's us. But we're blessed when we're persecuted. That's what he says. Blessed are those that are persecuted. And then the last one here is, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Almost sounds the same. And say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. He goes a little deeper in the Beatitudes here. In this statement, Jesus is adding what persecution might look like and what causes the persecution. He said, it's me. I'm the reason this is going to happen to you, that you're going to get reviled, that you're going to get spit on, slapped, cussed out. It's because of me. That's what he says right there. You're going to be blessed for this. At the time of this message, with the Beatitudes, when all of them were sitting, if you would read the scriptures before that, like I just said, he had healed multiple people. He sits them down, and he's reading all this stuff to them that they've never heard before. They had not been persecuted before this time. They had not been reviled yet. Jesus was saying stuff to these people, and they were going, what is he talking about? You know, Jesus did that a lot, if you think about it. Remember when they went to make him king? He said, you know what? If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll be with me. They're like, man, dude, this guy is messed up. We're out of here. And a lot of the disciples left. Do you read the Bible? It's in there. Eat his flesh. Okay. But here's what 1 Peter 4:12 through 16 says about what Jesus is talking about right here. Beloved, do you think it's strange concerning the fiery trial which is trying you? As though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, that means someone's expressing disapproval, for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Hallelujah. And I only got one woo-hoo. It's not easy. The Beatitudes, as we call them, again, were foreign to these guys. What kind of a kingdom is this that he's talking about? Remember, they wanted Jesus to lead a rebellion, a monster rebellion, and free them from the bondage under the Romans, because it happened with their ancestors that had been freed from the bondage of the Egyptians. They knew what happened. So they think, man, Jesus is the man. Look what he's doing. Wow, all these crowds and people are following him. Come on, he's going to be king. Praise the Lord. That's what they wanted. But Jesus messed them all up. Messed them all up. This is what Jesus said he was bringing back. He wasn't bringing back a force. He wasn't bringing back anything. He wasn't going to overthrow the Romans. Here's what he said he was going to do. Luke 17, 20 says from Jesus' mouth what kingdom he was bringing back. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered to them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Jesus said there will be no place you will be able to observe it. It's not a physical kingdom. God reigns in the hearts of you and me. That's the kingdom he brought back. Can you imagine how bewildered they must have been? What? What am I supposed to do with this sword now? Jeez. The Bible's a sword? What? Had to be crazy for these guys to hear this kind of stuff. God reigns in the hearts of you and I. That is the kingdom Jesus restored by fixing what Adam and Eve broke. The Beatitudes are about tearing away of a worldly type of heart culture and bringing kingdom culture into our hearts. Amen. Almost like, and this word came to me, first it came open heart surgery, and then I said, then another word came, more like a circumcision of the heart is basically what the Beatitudes were all about and what Jesus was saying. This is what happens to us when we give our lives to Christ. When you and I repent for our sins and ask Jesus to come and rule and reign in our hearts, your heart now belongs to God. Remember last week I said that you do not belong to yourselves. We have been bought with a price. We're no longer ourselves. We don't belong to us. We belong to him. We have been bought with that price. Your heart is the territory of God's kingdom now. And when a kingdom takes over a territory, it changes everything about it. Amen. Woo! So when you give your life to Jesus, guess what? He's changing everything in your heart. He's circumcising everything in that heart. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. It's exciting and terrifying at the same time. When Nicole and I bought our first house together, we went in and we gutted everything. Most of them, some of the rooms, all the way down, that was the bathroom, by the way. That was where the shower was. We gutted all the way to the studs. We destroyed everything. We wanted to start over. Well, why? By the way, that's Pastor Phyllis there walking in our living room there. So, yeah. So you notice that she didn't have a hammer or anything in her hand. She's just looking, you know, that's it. So, but we destroyed it. Why? Why did we go in and do this? Because it was old. It was old. It was someone else's taste and decorating. It was somebody else's paint color and design. That's why we went in and ripped it out. We put all new stuff in the house, things that we liked. Our taste, our decorating, Nicole's decorating, Nicole's taste, Nicole's color patterns. How do I say our? It was all her. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He's a what? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Hallelujah. All things have become new. He circumcised your heart and my heart. It's all become new. Old things are gone. Everything is now new. Hallelujah. That's exciting. God's kingdom changes us from the inside out. The inside out. We have a circumcised heart. The kingdom of God changes people. Changes people. God's kingdom is the opposite of the world's worldly culture. Here we go. Get ready. The world's culture says, be who you want to be. Yeah, you do you. You hear that a lot. This is my truth. My truth. No one will tell me how to live my life. I am who I want to be. Okay. I will do things how I see fit. And of course, let's don't forget the famous music line.
The record shows I took the blows and did it my way.
Yes! Thank you, Elvis. 1973, I was 2 years old. We want to do things our way. Not God's way. It's I will do things how I see fit. In the Old Testament, the book of Judges says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I am my own God, I hear people say today. Mm-hmm. That's the world's culture. Us four and no more. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve brought that culture into this world when they decided if eating the fruit of that tree will decide if it's going to be good or bad. Let us decide. We'll make that decision, God, not you. Let's try it, Adam. Let's go, buddy. Hurry up. Well, they found out what happened. As citizens of heaven, Christians, Jesus followers, we are to be influencing the culture, not the worldly culture influencing us. Amen. And so I want to bring an illustration up here. Pastor Rick, come here, please. And can I have a microphone for him, Nicole, so I don't have to do this? Just give him the microphone. Come on up here, bro. Good to see you. This is Pastor Rick. He's our Dayton campus pastor. So we love him tremendously, him and his family, doing a fantastic job in the big metropolitan city of Dayton, Ohio. Amen. So, for those of you that are not colorblind, okay, you will notice that Pastor Rick is a little bit darker than me, okay? Just a little bit. I try to go to Aruba to get your color. It still doesn't happen, man. Still doesn't happen at all.
You're sorry?
Yes, okay. Well, I wrote down some questions that I have for you. The first one is, where did you grow up?
Chicago,
Illinois. Okay, and let's see, what was my other question here? Oh, were you influenced by the culture that you grew up in?
Even if you weren't a member of the gang dominated in that area, you still were affiliated with them in some form or fashion.
Wow, whether you knew it or not.
You had to be.
You had to be. Okay, wow. All right. Were you influenced by your surroundings, which you said yes because you were part of the game? If not, but here's even a tougher question for you, okay? Let me do this one. Were you also influenced by the culture of your skin color?
Yes.
We might want to turn off live stream here, you know. Just, I don't know how deep this goes. You know.
I think the statute of limitations.
It's been, okay. Thank the Lord. He was a pastor of our Dayton campus. We'll see you. Nice to have you there. Okay. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay. Now, I remember at one of our marriage conferences, you had said that you and Lynn, B.C., before Christ, had jumped in your car and drove all the way to Chicago in the middle of the night, found a nice nightclub, and decided to dance a little provocatively, so provocatively that everybody in the club's mouth dropped and was watching you two. Notice what I say last week about nightclubs. Yeah, no. You. Yeah, right? I mean, you did these. I mean, you were not saved. Right.
Yeah, we weren't saved, and I actually had a nightclub.
I didn't even know this.
And so after it was over, I drove to Chicago, made a lot of money that night. Chicago's an hour behind. So I figured if I can get there in 3 hours, it'd be 5 a.m. here, but it'd be 4 a.m. there. And we went to a club, met some friends there, and before I knew it, the entire club had formed a circle around Lynn and I.
And that's all I need to know. We don't need any details.
Stop there, yeah.
Okay, so in other words, you walked the part.
Yes.
You talked the part.
Yes.
You acted the part of that worldly culture that you were in.
Yes.
That's really all you knew at the time.
Gambling, money, sex.
All that stuff. Yeah. Okay. But somewhere along, you put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you became a citizen of heaven.
Yes.
Kingdom culture started to do a circumcision in your heart.
Yes.
Pastor Rick. It changed everything that it touched in you. Right?
Yes.
You started to talk differently.
Yes.
You started to walk differently.
Yes.
Hopefully you started to dance a little differently. At least in public anyway. In private,
you
do what you
there
want.
You
baby.
You
right? But things started to change.
Yes.
Because Jesus got a hold of your heart and you allowed him to.
Yes.
Were there things that were very difficult to let him grab a hold of and circumcise in your heart?
Yes. The sexual activity was very hard.
Okay.
Pornography,
okay.
Letting that go, those are probably the hardest.
Okay. Well, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the new character that he is. He is part of the kingdom. God changed him slowly, but changed him from the inside out, and he is a new man. Could we recognize you today from when you were a sinner?
Not really.
Good. That's a good answer. That's all I need to know. No. Because you're all God now. He owns you. He has you. Even though you may have had those desires, those things, those passions, you had to say no. Because you're not your own anymore. You're hidden with Christ.
He told me this. I kept falling with the sexual sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, God, you know, I gave my life to you. and I'm sorry. He goes, you're not getting this. He said, you've already changed because it started in the inside. And I said, but I keep doing these outwardly things. He said, just stay with me. He said, what I did on the inside, it'll manifest on the outside.
Come on. Amen. Good. Now, I have one more question for you, and this is going to be even tougher. Okay. Now, and the thing is, we have talked about what I'm getting ready to ask, we've talked about. We have a lot of conversations and stuff. So, this is not new to me, this is maybe new to you. But voting season is coming up. And thank God it's going to be over soon. Hallelujah. Okay. But how do you, Pastor Rick, approach the people of your color, when they tell you, a person of color, that you better vote a certain way, we stick together. You know who you represent, and you better represent it. How do you deal with that? Okay, and I'm gonna wrap two questions together, okay? And how do you, as a born-again Christian, deal with worldly culture versus kingdom culture in your own personal life, maybe in that question?
So I remember when President Obama was elected president, and right before that, some friends of mine, they called me from Chicago and said, hey, man, we know you're voting for Obama, right? And I said, well, how do you know that? And the guy said, well, he's black and he's from Chicago. And so I said, so that's all a guy has to do is be black and from Chicago to give my vote? And everybody got quiet. And I said, so just pick any gang member off the street and put him up there.
Mm.
And I said, no, I'm not doing that, you know. I said, I have my views. And it got challenged a lot. And I just said, hey, listen, I'm a Christian before I'm anything.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying is, after you got saved and God reconstructed your heart, every situation, every thought, every question that you're questioned by anybody and everybody, including your own culture, your own people per se, all now is filtered through kingdom culture and not worldly culture. Is that what you're saying?
That's who I am. Everything else is a distant second to that. It's not even a close second. You know, we even would have a lot of situations when I first started attending the church. A pastor said, you know, why do you go all the way up there with them? And that got a response out of me.
Wait a minute, to them? Yeah. Who is them? Us?
So he even said, I bet when you're up there, you don't preach. And I said, well, here's what you don't understand. I said, my claim to fame is not preaching. I said, I just want to live right. It's all about his will. Mm-hmm. I said, and I would be careful when you say up there with them, because the Bible says about touching not his anointed and doing them harm. And then I spoke, first time I ever did this, I said, you know what? I was wondering what was going on in this church. I was feeling things, noticing things. Mm-hmm. So this church in 6 months will not be here.
Well, you gave a prophecy.
And I was at work. That was in the month of December of that year. I was at work in June. I'll never forget it. This lady walks into the office, and she's like, I know you. And we're trying to figure out where we know each other from. Yeah. She was at that church.
Okay.
And I said, well, hey, how's the pastor doing? She says, I don't know. I don't attend that church anymore. I said, oh, okay. She says, matter of fact, they closed their doors about a month ago.
Wow. Woo. Come on. Amen. Give Pastor Rick a big round of applause. Come on. Sorry I put you on the spot like that, man. I love you, bro. I love you. So basically, what does the word say about every subject that we deal with? That's the kingdom's rule book, isn't it? That's his rules. Pastor Rick is not politics minded. He's not party minded. He is kingdom minded. And he will vote that way, and so should you. I think we should all vote. Hello, my grandpa died. Well, I'm sorry, he didn't die in World War. He fought World War II, lost his hearing from a grenade. He fought for our freedom. So I think we should all vote. I'm not against voting. It's our right. But we should vote kingdom culture way, not world culture way. And it's funny that, Pastor Rick, you said this. You said that people would ask why you go up there to that church. There have been people that have said, why do you go down to that white man's church? They've said it this way. They've said it this way. And the thing about this is, and maybe they still say that stuff, but here's the thing. Those people don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. God's rule book for those who are citizens of heaven doesn't stereotype. Doesn't do it. Galatians 3:26 says this. Get this. For you all, everybody say A-L-L. For you are all sons of God through Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, given your life to Jesus, you have what? Put on Christ. Say it again. I have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. That also means there is neither black nor white or any other race in God's eyes. So now, when Brother Rick looks at me, he don't see white cracker. He don't see this dude ain't got no soul, he can't sing. When Pastor Rick sees me, you know what he sees? Thank God for kids' church. It's the only thing I can find. When I look at Pastor Rick, I don't see the dude dirty dancing in a nightclub. I don't see his past. I don't see him around gangs. When I see Pastor Rick, this is what I see. When I look at David, I don't see his past, breaking in churches, breaking in people's houses, all heathenistic and being bad. I look at David and I see this.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
When I see this, do I have the music? No. That's the personal dancing that we're talking about. When I see this, I see this.
Amen. Amen.
Now listen, without this, that's a woman preacher. With this, I see Jesus. There ain't no male nor female in the kingdom. That's going to set some people free on TV. No, this is what I see. When I see this, Jesus. By faith I see this. Hallelujah. When I see this, I don't see a past ridden in sin. I don't bring up his past because he has no past. He's been set free, cleansed. Then when I see Corey, I see this right here. That's what I see. And that's what we all should see. Kingdom culture right here, not worldly culture. That's how we should see each other. Amen. Everything that we do filters through kingdom culture.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As Christians, we are the ones who set the culture. We set the standards. We live in a world, but the world does not live in us. And we are not part of it. And there's a super rise of culture wars happening all the time in the world right now. It's a form of culture conflict between different social groups who struggle to politically impose their own agenda, an ideology upon mainstream society. It's happening huge. And sometimes Christians who mean well, they still get intertwined in the mess. We do. BLM, LGBTQ plus the alphabet, abortion, sexual orientation. The KKK is still around. I didn't know that. The culture war in Gaza. Let Palestine go free from the land to the sea, whatever they say. The women's liberation movement. Listen, and so many more. These are culture wars. And you know what I found out? 76% of society doesn't even know that there is a culture war going on. And just because you may not know it doesn't mean you're not in one.
That's right.
Jesus never entered in the culture wars of his day. He didn't do it. No, he dodged them. Read about it. It's in the Bible. The Pharisees tried to trip him up on a culture war that they were having about the resurrection. Didn't believe in it. You just die when you die. How horrible. Jesus dodged the question, didn't enter into the culture war. He's a smart, smart guy. Peter told a large Jewish audience to repent and then explain what the word involved. Acts 2:40. Be saved from this perverse generation. Don't be a part of it. He called them to excommunicate themselves from culture wars, to take responsibility, to unplug, to defect, and to renounce from society's prevailing systems of thought and the arguments and disputes that define them. Stay away from it. It does no good. We are the ones who have influence in our surroundings. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. You and I are. Hallelujah. And with our hearts circumcised, we will stand for King Jesus in love, humility, compassion, with meekness and mercy, no matter if they cuss us out, no matter if they give us the middle finger, no matter if they try to run us over. Hallelujah, because Jesus said we will be blessed for it. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins was not his ultimate priority. It was also to get the culture of the kingdom back here on earth. To bring back relationships between God and man. That was lost with Adam and Eve, like we just said. Jesus, or just as king, sent, just as king sends a governor to a territory to take control over, to impose his will and purpose on all of his people and his ways on all the people, as Jesus ascended to heaven, guess what he did? He sent his governor to the earth to impose his will, his purpose, his plan to us and for us. All the rules and regulations of the kingdom, I hate using that, but he sent them with the governor, and the governor, the Holy Spirit, is here and has been here for over 2,000 years, implementing these things into our lives, keeping our hearts circumcised, growing in grace. What does it say here? Let's see, the Bible says, what did I write it down? The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. Into all truth. He's the one that helps us, leads us, guides us. He's the governor. Everything that God wants, what he likes. He doesn't like cussing. But guess what? There's no cussing in God's kingdom. God's culture, cussing's not there. I'm not sure that, I'm going to step on, I ain't going to say it. No, I'm not going to say it. Just as King sends the governor here, the Bible says that he will guide us to all truth. He will produce heaven's culture on the inside of you and me when we receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. And so today, I guess, I want to give that invitation to those of you who maybe are not clear if you are part of the kingdom culture. I really want to be. I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. I'm in. I'm out. I don't think my heart is circumcised. I like the world. I'm drawn to the world. I do worldly things. I just can't get a grip on it. Like Pastor Rick said for a while there. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Everybody stand up, please, this morning. I want to pray for you. You know, one of the songs that they sang today was really good, and it really bore witness with my spirit. And, of course, it's the song that says, "If you want my heart, you can have it." I want God to have my heart. I want what is right. I want what is good. I don't want to be a part of this world. There's nothing good in it. You know, when Peter, when all those people left Jesus because they wanted him to be king, and they said, "You know what? You want to eat my flesh? You can." Man, this guy is tough. It's too hard to understand. They've gone. You know, he looked at his disciples. He looked at Peter. "You want to go too? You want to leave also? Go." And Peter said, "Where would I go? Look what I have seen. Look what you have done in my life. Wow, where would I go? Back to the world's culture? There's nothing back there. That's Satan's domain, Satan's kingdom. There's nothing there but death. Spiritual death and physical death. That's it. If you're here today and you say, I want to be a part of God's kingdom, I'm not sure. And I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not having you come down today. I just want you to raise your hand. Say, you know what? That's me. Pastor Randy, I want to be a part of this kingdom. I'm not sure. Just raise your hand. Anybody in the hizzy, raise your hand. Anybody at all. Okay? Everybody's good. Everybody's heart's good. Okay, got one, two. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want you to be a part of the royal family. We're the royal family in this place. We all got problems, situations. We all go through stuff, but we get to go through it together. We don't judge. I've never done what Pastor Rick did, ever. I've never been in a nightclub, let alone a day club. I think I've tried to dance like that on Nicole and she threw me away. I don't know. I don't know what he went through. I can't judge him. All I can do is look at him through Jesus. And that's how we're supposed to look at each other, especially in these last days. Those of you that have your hands raised, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Oh, we're going to come on down. Oh, come on down. Okay. Come on down. Amen. Amen. If the others that had their hands raised, they want to come on down, come on down. If not, we're going to repeat this prayer after me. Hallelujah. Okay, y'all want to pray with us? Everybody, just pray after me. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you this morning. A sinner. Going to hell. But right now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me. Clean.
Throw all my sins away.
As far as the east is from the west. Never to remember them again.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm clean. Worldly culture is leaving me now. Satan, leave. Don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
I am the property, of God now.
Of God now.
His kingdom.
His kingdom.
His righteousness.
His righteousness.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That I am yours.
That I am yours.
I am not my own.
I am not my own.
Any longer. Now, Lord, I thank you for these that have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins, God. I thank you for helping them, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for searing their heart right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, tearing away the things that have bound them, Lord God. Right now, in Jesus' name, we bind them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, they have been set free from sin and sin's nature and worldly culture this morning. I give you praise for it, Father, right now. We thank you for it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, guys. Give Jesus a hand now. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Those of you in the back that asked and raised your hands, please see somebody at the Welcome Center back there. This is just the beginning of living for God, living for Him, and we want to help you and be a part of that in your life. It's what we're here for as a family. I'm going to pray a blessing over us. And wait a minute, though, we have a baby dedication, though. Oh, are they here? They're here somewhere. Okay. Oh, yes, I think they're okay, they're going for their kids right now. Somebody better go grab. I seen them go that way for the kids. Hallelujah.
That was a beautiful message.
I would love us to sing, and maybe this is a good time, to sing that song. If you want my heart, you can have it. Will you do that for us real quick? Come on, guys. Let's just praise the Lord real fast. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song together. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are they coming? Are our family coming? Hey, come on down. Come on down. Yes.
So today we have with us Corey and Tara Kissel, and we've got all these little babies.
Look at these guys. This, hi, buddy.
We've got the family of A's. We've got Asher, Abigail, and our newest, who was born on August 25th, 2024, Adria.
Hi, gorgeous.
She's so pretty.
Oh, she's precious. What an honor and a privilege for Randy and I and the church to be here with you guys today as you make this bold commitment. What a bold commitment to say, these are our children and we dedicate them to you, Lord.
Yes.
Because in essence, you're dedicating yourselves to what the scriptures tell us, that you will train up a child in the way it would go. It's a big commitment these days.
Oh,
a lot of us are busy. There's time. There's all these things that come into it. But you're saying, Lord, these are your children. And
yep.
they're simply on loan to us. And
yep.
we're going to do the best we can yep. with these three beautiful angels.
That's right.
I think of the scripture in Deuteronomy, and I say this to most of the families because it's so important, that the responsibility is to impress the word of God, upon your children's hearts. Press them on their hearts. Press them, whether it's lying down, waking up. It says even when you're walking about, you're teaching them of the things of the Lord.
That's right.
What? To love the Lord God with all their strength, their mind, and their hearts.
Yes.
And to serve him all their days. See, God has a plan for each one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that it's to give them a future and a hope.
Yep.
A good ending.
Yep.
Now we as a church family, and as mom and dad, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, wherever they are, it's our responsibility to help them know why and what they were created for. And we're going to do our best, whether it's in children's church or whether it's at dinner. But we want to pray a prayer of blessing over them tonight. Today,
yes.
we need fivefold prayer, fourfold prayer that you pray. Protect, guide, lead, reveal, right, and bless them throughout their years.
Father, we come before you today as a family, a church family. And we bring this awesome couple and their kids to you today. And our new one, Lord. And God,
yes.
we dedicate her to you
yes.
this morning.
Adria.
Thank you for this gift that you have given this family today. God, I know that mom and dad will do their best to raise them, her, in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. That, Lord God, when they are old, they will not depart from what they have been taught when they are young. I thank you. It will not leave their minds. It will not leave their hearts today. God, give mom and dad strength, Lord God, wisdom and knowledge how to raise these guys in this worldly culture that we are in. Thank them for kingdom ideas, God. And God, I bless them. I bless her. In the name of Jesus, we protect her, God. Your word, your love, your life, your blood protects her. In the name of Jesus, God, protects the family. Thank you, Father.
We thank
They're protected.
You. We thank you, Lord, that in an early age,
Hallelujah.
Jesus would be revealed to her.
Yes.
That she would know him as her personal
Jesus.
Savior and she would serve him all of her days.
Mm.
God, that she would arise singing and bless his name before she goes to bed. God, that she would live a path that was straight and made in the way of righteousness.
Yes, Jesus.
God, that you would lead her. Father, that even as we pray now, you're providing her future.
Yes.
Whether it be a husband, a family, whatever
Hallelujah.
It is, God, you've wrote his name and you know Hallelujah. Where he's at. Father, I thank you that she would bring glory to you all
yes,
of her days.
Yes, Jesus. And in his last days, God, that her gift and talent will come out quickly.
Yes, God.
For what she has to do for you, Lord God.
Planner.
In Jesus' name. How we thank you for these things. We thank you that they are blessed. We give you praise for it all. And everybody together says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo!
No kissing.
I kiss the babies. I do. Germs? What do you mean? We're all part of a family.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, let's bless you guys and get you out of here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the family of faith this morning. God, I thank you, Father, that the words, your word today, have pierced their hearts, Lord God, and gave them a fresh and a new. The Lord God, you would help them continue to bring the kingdom culture to this world, Lord God. That your kingdom, Father, will continue to expand and the devil's kingdom continue to die and decrease. God, I thank you that as they go, every foot that they touch, every place that they go, every place that their foot touches, they're blessed. They have favor wherever they go. Favor with their bosses. Favor, Father, with their teams. Favor, great favor. We thank you for raises. We thank you for promotions because they do what's right. They're tithers and they're givers. God, I thank you that you bring people by their paths this week to help lead them, Lord God, to Jesus. Sow seeds into their lives and into their hearts. God, we thank you for all these things that you're doing. Thank you for testimonies all throughout their homes and their families and their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. We'll see you Wednesday night.